The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 1st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. A bit later in the program, we'll talk today with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, and then a look at the cash grain market with Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Dave Dickey will be along just in a bit, too. He'll have a discussion of yesterday's release by USDA of the Bush administration's Farm Bill proposal, that in his newscast, and then I'll tell you about some really, and I mean really, big news here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's $500 million big. Stay with us for this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Taking a look now at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they settled on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat pit March contract at 460 and a quarter. The lead option down 7 and a quarter today. May futures at 474 and a half were down 6 and a half. March corn futures down 6 cents at 398. The May at 409 and three quarters down 6. And July at 417 off 5 and a half. September's 403 down 1 and a half for the afternoon. December corn futures at 392 and a half. They were down 2 and 1 quarter. March soybeans, 721 and a half up 2. The May futures at 737 and a half. They were 3 higher. July contract at 750 and 3 quarters up 3. And Nove's at 774 up 3 as well. March bean meal futures at 207.90. That's up 50 cents. The March bean oil at 29.58, 24 higher. And the feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange traded off $1.07.5 at 94.77.5. The Feb live cattle at 89.82.5 were off 40 cents. And the April's at 92.90 were down 27.5. February lean hogs, $64.72.5 were 20 cents lower for the afternoon. From the outside markets, crude oil futures, $57.30 a barrel, down 84 cents. The CRB index at 299.24. That's off 198 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,670 is up just about 50 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does each and every Thursday afternoon, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace and what you see in your cycles for corn at the moment.
Well, corn, cycle-wise, I guess I still want to be generally friendly to the corn market. I do think that there's room here to try to give her one more stab to the upside, but the timing on that is not exactly clear. The market's been acting awful heavy here the last week or so. It kind of looked like maybe we were going to get something going here the other day with a good uptick, reversal up type action that kind of failed to follow through yesterday, and it kind of looked like maybe we were going to get some traction here today until the end here, and we're back down. So I think the corn market is one of these situations where I think it's kind of run out of a lot of upside enthusiasm compared to what it had during the fall months. I think you look back at the crop report, and the crop report was kind of the exhaustion, I think, of the long fall rally. I mean, we've been talking about the need to increase corn acres. You know, prior to the report, it was 6 to 8, 6 to 8, and now after the report, when USDA made a downward adjustment of production, it was 8 to 10, 8 to 10. A lot of your private surveys now indicate that an 8 to 10 is maybe in the cards here. So I think the market has accomplished its main goal, and the goal was this fall was to attract farmer intentions to plant more corn. So I think that's where we're at. I think the next move up in corn, if we need to have one, is going to have to be driven by the need to cut demand now, because I think we've increased the supply prospects by as much as we can. Now, spring weather will have a lot to say how those supply prospects are planted and whether or not, you know, we're going to get a real big acreage or we're going to get more a modest acreage increase. But I think now if the corn market is going to move higher, it's going to go higher on rationing, the need to ration supplies or the need to cut demand more so than increase supply.
That tells me that farmers might want to consider sales options at this point, because if we're in balance and we're at $4, that seems like a decent place to make a sale.
It all depends upon what kind of spring weather pattern you have, I think. And, I mean, I'm not going to talk anyone out of pricing December corn futures up here in this $3.90 to $4 range. I think those are, you know, some pretty good prices compared to what we've kind of grown accustomed to over the past 3 or 4 years. But I do think that, you know, in order to get December futures to go a whole lot higher, I think that's a ways down the road. I think that's down the road this summer on some weather scares of some kind, because I think if we have planting problems that we're not going to get all the crop planted for one reason or the other, I think that that strength will be in the old crop month. So, like I said, the next big move, I think, is sometime, you know, April, May here, and that a lot depends upon what USDA's planting intentions number says and what the planting season looks like when we turn the corner into April. If everything goes real well, we have a dry spring, early spring, everything goes in fairly active, fairly timely, the corn market will probably struggle until you get into a summer weather problem. If you don't have a weather problem, then, you know, you struggle right on through the summer months.
You say struggle, but I assume you mean consolidation. You have a range in mind?
Well, struggle is kind of a nice way of saying a declining market. if everything goes real well, starting out, you know, with a very good early active planting, and then if the weather is mostly normal, no extremes in it, you know, you just march on through the growing season with some pretty good prospects.
And again, I'll ask, do you have a downside objective?
Well, I don't know if I want to start talking that yet, but
okay.
But that's one scenario. The other scenario is if you get into a wet spring, delayed planting, and the market realizes that maybe only a 5 million acre increase is on the table, then I think then the market would have to rally to cut demand, because it'll be realization that we're not going to have a crop big enough to meet all this demand that everybody's talking about. Therefore, you have to take prices higher to cut off any expansion of demand prospects in the marketplace. So then the strength, I think, then would come in the front months.
If you've gone 10, maybe, let's say if you've gone 10% extra acreage at this point, you haven't committed acres one way or the other to soybeans, would you be willing to buy a stacked hybrid and go ahead and add to that potential?
Well, the market tells you to plant corn. Beans have a ways to go to catch up to corn. Now, I think that's what beans are trying to do. $7.75 bean futures, and you minus your bases, you know, 3.740, 7.30, 7.50 type cash soybeans versus 3.50 type cash corn, you got a ways to go yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at this point, the market tells you, you know, to plant corn. It wants corn acres. Now, as a farmer marketer, farmer manager, you have to determine what kind of risk levels you want to take at this point.
Well, if you go ahead and decide that you want to do that, do you cover those additional acres?
I don't know. Some people like to use that as a marketing plan, covering additional acres. I think acres are acres. I mean, I think you look at a percentage of your crop, what you want to price between now and, you know, mid-March or between now and mid-April. If you have good weather, as a rule, your best pricing opportunities come during, April, May, June, March, April, May. And I guess I would be in the opinion that that's going to be the case even more so this year, because the market is worried about getting additional acres and worried about getting that crop planted. So this will be the greatest time of uncertainty between now and, I'd say, middle part of May. So I think farmers need to probably look at pricing opportunities during this time frame.
There's about a 50-cent premium between the March and the Noves for the soybeans at this point. Have you watched South America enough to know whether there's much downside potential in the near term based on their harvest, which should get started shortly?
Well, I don't... the South American crop, at least, is better than last year. Whether it's going to be, 7 million tons or 8 million tons better than last year, we don't know for sure. But so far, so good. Now, some of the weather patterns of recent and even in the near term, a little more activity in the rust situation indicates that maybe the South American crop is not going to grow in size anymore. Some maybe are thinking that the thing might be shrinking in a little bit. Nothing in the magnitude of what's happened over the past couple of years, but the fact that supplies aren't growing anymore, then that, markets have a tendency to stabilize. And then you hear a lot of talk about Brazil maybe going to use more soybean inventory this year in the biodiesel production and therefore won't have as many supplies available for export. So that kind of tightens up the world soybean equation a little bit, and then when we, if these private surveys are right, and farmers are going to plant 8 to 10 million more acres of corn if they get a chance to, that means we're probably going to lose 6 to 8 anyway on the beans, and then that really tightens up the bean balance sheet, because you start off with the production prospects about 300 million bushels less than you would have with the big acreage drop. So the beans have a way. I think the beans can be supported by the price ratio of the higher prices corn and all of these uncertainties as we go on into the spring months. But there's downside risk in beans. You've got open interest has grown a lot. If things would turn negative, you can have a meaningful setback in soybeans fairly quickly.
We appreciate you talking with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
A quick look at the weather forecast tells us tonight it'll be mostly cloudy, cold, scattered flurries, lows across the two-state region from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 25 in the far southern parts of Indiana. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, USDA yesterday released a briefing paper containing 65 proposals for Farm Bill 2007. Program eligibility is the most significant change proposed by USDA Secretary Mike Johans. To receive direct payments, a producer's adjusted gross income cannot exceed $200,000. The current cap is $2.5 million. The proposal would retain the marketing loan program, but change the way loans are calculated and how the program is operated. Loan rates would be based on average market prices over the past 5 years, with the high and low year eliminated, and monthly rather than daily posted county prices. Countercyclical payments would be replaced by revenue payments that are triggered when per acre prices fall below national targets. Johans says fairness and compliance is at the heart of the plan.
They provide support when revenue is low despite high prices. Remember the comments from Kansas and Nebraska? They're more equitable. They distribute resources more equitably among producers and among commodities. I've talked many times about where the payments go. I don't need to rehash that today. other than to say these proposals are more equitable distribution. They're better able to withstand challenge. These proposals transition toward market-based programs and away from programs tied to price or production. And of course, very important, we have to keep that support amongst the people who pay the bill, the taxpayers.
Lawmakers, farm organizations, and agriculture industry officials say they want some time to study the USDA proposal before commenting. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman says, and this is a direct quote, "We are keeping an open mind and intend to give it full consideration." Ranking House Ag Committee Minority Member Bob Goodlatte says the plan contains a number of ideas warranting further scrutiny. But National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says NFU has fundamental issues with parts of the plan, notably proposed increases in direct payments. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, the energy company BP is funding biofuels research to the tune of $500 million right here in Illinois and in California. I'll have more on the Energy Biosciences Institute. BP is making a $500 million investment in biofuels research. The chairman and president of BP America, Bob Malone, says his company is funding research into clean fuels to augment petroleum. Malone, also a rancher, says researchers at the University of Illinois and UC Berkeley will use the funds to find new agricultural crops from which to produce clean-burning fuels.
We chose UC Berkeley and the University of Illinois after a global search. Both have demonstrated a track record of delivering big science, large, complex developments that are predicated on both scientific breakthroughs and engineering applications. We believe BP is joining with some of the best science and engineering talent in the world. Together, we will seek to meet the worldwide demand for low-carbon energy. As part of this effort, we'll be working to improve and expand the production of clean, renewable energy through integrated developments of better crops, better processing technology, and new biofuels.
BP is the largest blender and distributor of corn-based ethanol in America. Steve Long is a professor of crop sciences at the University of Illinois. He's been working with one of those next-generation crops, miscanthus, a grass, and with another grass that's already being utilized for ethanol production, corn. He explains how the grant will be used on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
We will be leading what is called the feedstocks division, which is really developing feedstocks for generation of fuels to complement corn ethanol. So it's really looking at what else we can do in addition to corn ethanol. An early part of the project will be looking at the use of corn stover, how much stover can be removed, for example, without damaging soil carbon stocks and subsequent yields, whether that stover can be genetically modified so that it will can be more easily converted into ethanol. So if you like, this will be an additional market for corn farmers. And of course, in the Midwest, stover is a huge resource that we might be able to tap into.
Beyond that, Long says the research grant, $500 million between the two schools, will be used to develop next-generation fuels. Hans Blaschek, for example, on the Illinois campus, has been working to produce butanol from plant materials like corn. Even further down the line is a hydrocarbon-based fuel made from other plant materials.
If we look at the perennial grasses, such as switchgrass, miscanthus, we'll be looking at others as well. These have the attraction that they require very little fossil fuel for their actual cultivation. They require very little nitrogen. They are planted once, so you don't have to go over the field every year to plant them. Once they're planted, the only farm operation when established is harvesting. So the inputs are low, and the yields can be very high. In terms of dry biomass, a miscanthus crop here on the South Farms can be 50% higher than some of our best corn crops.
The $500 million research program announced today by the energy company BP will bring farm bioenergy production to Illinois fields, corn and otherwise, on a grand scale, say researchers at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Illinois will join the University of California at Berkeley and the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in forming the new Energy Biosciences Institute. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is AM 580, a Thursday afternoon. We always talk with Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing, out of Lexington, Illinois, about the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been a busy day here on campus. How about where you are?
Oh, not too bad. Cold and kind of keeping everybody inside, I think.
Well, we were keeping them inside here, but busy listening to BP folks and Governor Blagojevich and Governor from California, and it was an interesting series this morning. I've been in the background to some extent, so
sounds pretty exciting.
I hope so. It looks like it's going to be a really, really interesting biofuels research project. There's a lot of money involved. I talked to the president and of BP America this morning. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I thought I cut you off there for a second.
You didn't. That's okay. You know what? We should talk about the cash grain market.
Yeah.
There's so much to discuss, but I'll put some of it in the newsletter this weekend. But let's talk about this cash grain market. So tell me, what have you seen from farmers over the last 4 or 5 days?
Well, there really hasn't been a lot of activity in the cash market. It seems like, you know, we got up to these levels, we backed off, gotten up there again, backed off. So I think we've kind of bought the corn that we want to buy at this level. The $4 mark is, of course, sitting there in a lot of people's mind, and on the beans of $7. So I think basis-wise, we've seen a little bit of improvement this week on the corn. Really pretty steady on the beans, not much. But today we did see a little bit of strength, especially along the river and that. Some of this cold weather coming in has kind of slowed down the movement, and I think there's some fears of ice on the Mississippi, so you know, guys would like to get those barges loaded that are, or on the Illinois, get those barges loaded and get them back down further south.
Did you hear Dan say earlier, talking about the striking a balance, roughly speaking, as between supply and demand, and that maybe we might be having to look at rationing on the demand side later on, that we may have bought enough acres at this point? Do you think that that's close to right?
Well, I think that question is still open, but if you look at 10 million acres on the corn side and a trend yield, I mean, you increase your carryout a little bit, so I think that's probably where he's coming from on that, and I would agree with that, that, you know, 10 million acres average yield, we're going to hold our own and not over, you know, not use more than what we raise. Then I think he also said, if I remember, that, you know, if we start having problems getting those acres in, you know, we need to start rationing usage. So
that's exactly where he went, with rationing usage on that side. But you say basis is good at the moment. What kind of bids do you have there?
Cash corn, 373. New crop, 360. Cash beans, 684. New crop, 739.
We appreciate you being with us,
Hey,
Bill.
Sorry about the phone there.
Oh, no, you just dropped out, and I was rattling on anyway. Thanks much.
Okay.
Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joining us from the elevator there, for the cash grain segment this afternoon. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. An elementary school teacher has made his first court appearance on charges of predatory criminal sexual assault on minors. Police arrested 26-year-old John White as he was heading to his job at Thomas Paine Elementary School yesterday in Urbana. Paine is accused of improper sexual conduct at the school with 3 female students late last year. He could face up to life in prison if he's convicted of the 3 Class X felonies. White's lawyer says they're just starting to get details of the charges. Police say their investigation continues. A judge in DeWitt County has handed down a 10-year prison sentence for a Clinton woman who was convicted of child endangerment in the 2003 drowning deaths of her 3 children. Amanda Hamm showed no emotion today as the sentence was read. Her conviction had carried a penalty ranging from probation to 20 years. Defense attorney Steve Skelton says with time served and other credits, the 30-year-old should be released from prison in about 14 months. Hamm had asked the judge for mercy today in making her first public comments about the deaths of her children. Her mother, Ann Power, says she's pleased with the sentence, but prosecutors say they're disappointed that she didn't get the maximum term. As mentioned earlier, the University of Illinois will see $100 million of research come its way. The oil giant BP has announced a $500 million research grant to the U of I and the University of California, Berkeley, to research various plants that could produce biofuels. Chancellor Richard Herman says the university has committed 12,000 square feet of space and expects the work to occupy dozens of faculty, staff, and students over the next 10 years. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich's office has paid nothing to a law firm that it hired to investigate state employment practices. That's causing a stir in the case of two state workers who were fired for alleged insubordination and manipulating the hiring process for favored job seekers. Don DeFrades and Michael Casey are asking the Civil Service Commission for their jobs back. Their lawyer says he'll seek dismissal of the insubordination charge. A Blagojevich spokeswoman says who paid for the contract is irrelevant. A bill that would shift administration of the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles from its current governor-appointed post to the elected Secretary of State has cleared a House committee. After hearing about an hour of testimony, the State House Roads and Transportation Committee voted to send the legislation to the full House. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage, WILL Urbana. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now by Pete Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast here and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, it's cold here. Tell me about temperatures, where we're headed.
Well, as a matter of fact, right now, the temperatures today in the upper 20s to near 30 are going to seem like a heat wave compared to the weather during the balance of the next 7 days. And the single word to describe it is a four-letter word, cold. That's what it's going to be from Saturday, really Friday night, right on through next Thursday. Temperatures will average between 15 and 20 degrees below normal, and we will see some sub-zero readings along the way from most stations, including the greater Chicago area and right down through central Illinois and over into western Indiana. One of the aspects of this cold air is that usually when you see temperatures this cold, the winds are nearly calm or so. This time they're going to be pretty breezy, especially tomorrow and Saturday night. 20 to 25 miles an hour winds with higher gusts and temperatures getting down Saturday night near or somewhat below zero. We don't usually like to mention wind chill, but here's a case where wind chill is going to be a very evident component of this cold outbreak.
Well, livestock producers, pet owners are going to need to take good care of those animals.
Very definitely. The weather's mostly dry through this period. There's a little light snow today, just flurries, mostly less than an inch, and there's one more chance a second backup Arctic front, which comes through tomorrow night and Saturday, may have enough moisture in it to produce, maybe up to an inch of fluffy snow.
Let's go from the cold air to the warmer regions of the world in South America, please.
Okay, in South America, we have another week where there's been abundant moisture in what's called the west central portion of southern Brazil, the Mato Grosso and Minas Gerais, which are soybean areas now. They've had a lot of moisture, up to 4 inches this past week, and there's a point at which moisture is no longer a good thing because this moist air and relatively cool temperatures promotes rust, and that's a factor down there. This Asian rust may become a problem. Further south in Brazil, it's drier. Weather is good, the moisture is adequate. And finally, in the Argentine, they finally got some very good moisture from the Pampas all the way south to Buenos Aires province. They needed it down there, so the moisture there is beneficial.
All right, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
And that's Pete Levitt. He's joins us here on Thursday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and that is the closing market report for this Thursday. Hope you visit our website at willag.org. There you can pick up a subscription to our weekend newsletter or just listen to the programming if you want after the fact. It's all at willag.org. You have a good afternoon. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.